one after the other type thing. They have to rise first because we're going to appear with them at the same time. I mean, they come up out of the ground, and then we're changed. So when they stand on their feet, they're coming up out of the ground before we are transformed. We'll be, when they come to, so to speak, ground level, is when we will be transformed with them, to be with them. But they will come up first. This may, you know, the dead rise first could be a matter of a split second difference. It's not necessarily like a big gap there. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. This is which is corruptible must be changed into an incorruptible. But you notice, the trumpet's going to sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible at that point. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and a spiritual body. The dead are not going to come down from heaven, where they are not. They're not going to abandon their mansions in the sky to come down and get their bodies. Now, oh! All right, everyone, time to muster. We're going to go back for your bodies now. Line up. Please queue up. Yeah, you know, because it's a big... All right, get your helmets and your swords. We're going to go down and get our bodies now. I hope you remember where you left it. Dun-da-da! It just seems like... that's just not Christianity, okay? Those images are... I don't know what else to call it. It's just paganism. It's just the idolatry. It's just... Jesus Christ made into an idolatrous image of lies, perversions, and deceit. The dead are going to be raised. They're not already, they are sleeping in the dust. Their bed is made in hell. All the dead. And the dead in Christ are going to rise at a set time in the future. Now, right now, they're just dead and buried. As Peter said of David, because he had someone to look back on who he knew was going to be in the resurrection, because the prophet Ezekiel spoke of David in the millennium. And he knew David would be resurrected. And he spoke of David. He says, I speak to you freely that David is both dead and buried. But God is the God of the living, not of the dead. So he speaks of the dead as though they live. That's why he talks to them as being asleep. Because the sleep aren't dead, they're merely sleeping. Because to God, he just needs to go, whoo, and he wakes them up. Again, they come from whatever body, it doesn't matter. They'll spring out, you know, because they're not being raised a carnal, natural body. You understand? See, we're not raising the old body. Like, if there's anything left of the old body... Now, this gets down to a question where I could become a heretic to some people. Like, so what are you going to say? Is let's say there's a partially decomposed body. What happens to it? Does it get obliterated? Does it get transformed? I mean, they say there's a one-to-one correspondence between your body and the, you know, unraised body. Whatever. You just look at the example of Jesus. His body was very much like the old body. Or at least it could appear that way. I don't think it was deceit necessarily. But again... Molecules are molecules. You know what I mean? I mean, the skin I have on my body is not the same skin I had last year. You know what I mean? And all the flesh of our body, we're urinating it away, and it's being replaced. Dead cells die, and they're replaced by living cells. Yeah, your bones stay there for a while, you know. But even that material is somewhat changed out. And it's not about the molecules, okay? So the old body isn't obliterated, it's transformed. Now, are the old molecules? Well, what I would say is, like, let's say old John, all that's left is his skull. Let's say old Fred. I don't like to use an example. I don't want to think of an apostle. Let's say old Fred, he's a believer, he's grown up into Christ, he's ready for the resurrection. But all that's left is his skull. And the resurrection is the skull coming out of the ground. Well, I'll say this, when you dig into John's grave, there will be no skull there after the resurrection. You know, there'll be nothing left of old John. Obliterated, transformed, the mechanics are immaterial. I think that's what Paul's saying. Fool, you don't sow what's going to be, but bear grain. So just like the grain, part of it, yeah, is shed off, you know. I mean, look, your outer layer of skin is going to decompose and go. As God, we're going to be concerned with rounding up every atom that was once you. Those atoms could be in someone else. It's not about the molecules. It's not about the material. It's about the person. Whatever is recognizably that person is not going to remain in the ground, but will be transformed into spiritual body. So you're going to have an energetic transformation sort of from a carnal existence to a non-carnal existence of whatever's left, or just their soul coming out of whatever. If they're in the sea, just the sea's going to come together and make a new body. And again, I don't think it's necessarily going to be out of the sea, just a body's going to appear out of the sea. Probably not using any of the materials at hand, because really, the spiritual body, I don't think it needs any actual materials. Like, God doesn't have to come back down, well, we got to get some dirt again and form the body. But I think whatever dirt is still recognizably part of that person, such as their skull or whatever, is not going to remain, I know that. And it will be transformed. So I think there's a sense in which God can transform that which is carnal into that which is spiritual, but that which is spiritual is not that which is carnal. And it is not dependent on that which is carnal either. I mean, there could be total obliteration of the body, and God could raise your soul from where it fell, not taking away any of the mass of the physical material at hand to raise you up. And if that's all confusing, then let's just move on. It's not important, the mechanics of it, is my point. Though I feel like that's a pretty good explanation. At least it's maybe not a good explanation, but an accurate portrayal. It's not dependent on physical things, because we're talking about a non-physical body, yet that can have physical properties. So this is a totally new kind of existence or substance or non-substance. The thing is like, what is it? You know, is it a substance? Now, I was reading about the Trinity. It said God and the Son are the same substance or similar substances. I'm like, they're not a substance at all. I mean, when I think of substance, I think of the materialistic world. Substances. And God isn't a substance. God is God. You know? God being of a substance. You know, well, he subsists of the same things. Well, he's not a thing either. God is a spirit. Well, what's a spirit? Can we weigh a spirit? Like, in the material world, science to this point, as far as I know, cannot detect a spirit. There's no measuring way. It's not a material. It's not an energetic thing. Though it does act on our body and so on and so forth. Though